Center.
Okay, Shalom Chavirim, Tzaharayim Tovim. We are commanded by the Rabbona Shel Olam to learn Torah, and we call it Judaism in English, but let's go, let's learn some Torah. The Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amid Beis begins a new melacha, or two new melachos, the melacha of Kosher and Matir. So the Gemara is a kasha. We know that all the malachos come from the Mishkan. The Gemara asks, "Kshira b'Mishkan hecha havoi? Where did they do kosher in the Mishkan? Where was it done?" So Amar Rava, "Shekein kosherim b'yisedos ohalim." That Rava says that the yisedos were these like pegs that were placed in the ground, no? And they would tie the curtains to these yesedos. So that's a malach of kosher, that they would tie the curtains to the yesedos. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be the source, because hahu kosher amanas lahatir. That is kosher amanas lahatir. That case is kosher when you're going to untie it. And consequently, it's not a melacha hamiskayim lachora. Consequently, it's not a permanent act of kosher, or it's not a long-standing enough act of kosher to be chayiv. Even though the kesher could last for a long time, the chafza of the knot could last for a long time, but nonetheless, because it's the Mishkan, and because the Mishkan by definition is a temporary tabernacle, it moves from location to location, so the Gemara is saying that this cannot be the real din of kosher, because that would be kosher amanas lahatir. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara rejects the source of tying the Urias to the Yesedos. Rather, the Gemara has a few other possibilities. Abaye suggests that the Urge Urias, Shenifsakan Lehem Nima Koshinosa, when they would weave the Urias and the thread would rip, so they would tie it up. Rava says, okay, that's grand, that's kosher, what about matir, etc.? And ultimately, the Gemara says that the source of kosher that was done in the Mishkan was that when they would catch chilazons, and Rashi over here comments that a chilazon is a dog, a chilazon is a fish, Rashi writes, no? You saw that, Rashi? Three lines in the bottom? Rashi writes a chilazon is a dog. So when they would catch the chilazon, they'd have to have nets. And in order to have a good net, you have to tie knots. So the malacha of kosher involves those knots that they would tie to catch the chilazon. Now, on a certain level, what the Gemara over here is dealing with is whether the limud from the Mishkan is coming from only the construction of the Mishkan, or even for what college students would call prerequisites, right? L'cha'ora, the maskana of the Gemara is they tie a knot in order to catch the chilazon, and the chilazon is necessary to construct the Mishkan. So the net that they tie is a prerequisite for Asiyas HaMishkan. It's l'cha'ora, not the Mishkan itself, no? But afilo hachi, right, the prerequisite, it's like, it's mamash like it's the 101 level course, no? You're capturing, you're tying a knot to make a net to capture a chilazon, which is going to be used to dye the stuff in the Mishkan, no? It is very far removed from the actual asiyas haMishkan, but nonetheless, that's the malacha, right? I think that's a shtickle chiddush in the Gemara.
Isn't it kind of like Zora?
So Zora is Zoraya. Okay, but think about it. Zoraya is I plant the seed which will produce, let's say, the samimonim for the Mishkan, is it as far removed? The seed l'cha'ir is like the chilazon. This is a step before that. I'm tying a knot to catch a chilazon, and the chilazon is going to produce the tzeva. Right? This is a step farther removed from Asiyas HaMishkan than Zoreya. Am I right? Zoreya is a way, let's say, to make dyes. So first I plant it in the ground, then the dye comes. The cheftza, so to speak, that I'm using in Asiyas HaMishkan.
Oh, and then we have to do like Choresh and Kotzer.
But all those things are to produce the actual dye that comes out, right? This is in order to obtain the item. Okay.
What?
Sod Tzvi. Right. Where was Sod Tzvi in the Mishkan? I think to make the... But Sod Tzvi is also closer because I need the Tzvi itself. No, for the Oros, I need the hide of the Tzvi. This is making a knot. This is making a knot to make a net to catch the tzvi. That's actually an interesting question. How come the Gemara only speaks about capturing a chilazain for the same money the Gemara has spoken about capturing a tzvi? No, I don't know. I think this is a step removed. Again, it's a necessary course in order to really understand it. In order to really chap the chilazain. Literally, chap the chilazon, you need a net. But it is a little bit more removed from the Mishkan. Like, would I say that it's considered a malacha of toveh, let's say, to make the string, which is going to become the net, to capture the chilazon? Like, this is about making a net. I think it is, right? The Gemara speaks about Toiva in the sense of that they're Toiva the Yerils. Mm-hmm. Okay, Zosain, that's not the main point I want to talk about. There's also a teeny bit of a diuk from the, not a teeny bit of a diuk, it's a very strong inference from Rashi that the Chilazon is a dag. Those who assume the Chilazon is Murex trunculus, it's a snail, not a dag. My Rosh Hashiva when I was in high school, Reb Yechiel Yitzchak Per, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Farakway, wrote a letter to the RJJ Journal a bunch of years ago. If you remember, there are these two fellows who established an organization called Petil Tchelet. The organization basically produces tcheles. And the tcheles that they have comes from a snail that comes up, the Murex trunculus, and they assume that that snail mamish meets all the characteristics of the chilazon in the Gemara. And Rabbi Per wrote a letter to the RJJ Journal saying, like, lo dubin v'lo yar. There's no connection at all because a snail in Shas is called a shavlol. Rashi throughout the Gemara speaks about the chilazon as being a dag. It can't be the murex, Rabbi Per argued, because the murex is a snail and it has to be a fish. That's his argument. Now, I'm not sure he's right. I don't think he's right. Because I think even though in Shas the word shavlol is used for snail, but in Rashi Lashon, right, they don't distinguish between snail and dag. Any aquatic creature is called dag. No? I mean, yeshla ayin. I think this is an important thing to figure out what the word dag means, right? In Shas Lashon, and what the word dag means in Rashi Lashon. And it's nogeya lamaisa in terms of the tcheles, potentially. Potentially. People think that Rav Shechter, who wears tcheles, feels that it's mamish absolutely. I don't think so. I think Rav Shechter, if you speak to him, feels that it's l'chal apachas a suffik d'iraisa, so you should wear it. I don't think Rav Shechter is 1,000,000% convinced that the murex is the tcheles. That's already, it's an important aside, but, it is an aside. But let's go back to the beginning of our Gemara. Zok the Gemara. that you cannot learn the malacha of kosher from the fact that they tied the ureals to the yesedos, because that is kosher amanas lahatir, which we explained means that since the tabernacle in the desert is temporary, they move it from place to place, so therefore it is not miskayim. But that's the pashtus in our Gemara. However, this issue is actually a machlokes in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi on Nun Beis Amid Beis, Bedapei HaYerushalmi, and on Nun Aleph Amid Beis, Bedapei HaYerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi at the beginning of Perek HaBona also. The Yerushalmi speaks about Azoi, Ma Binyin Hoya B'Mishkan. In fact, the Yerushalmi, the Malach of Boina, which we spoke about, what was the Binyin in the Mishkan? So Yerushalmi says, Shahayu Nosnin Krushim Agabe Adonim. Right, they put the krushim on the adonim. The adonim, if you remember, are the sockets, no? And the krushim are the beams. They put the beams on the sockets. Frekni Rishami Velola Sha'a Haisa. Rishami asks, but one second, how can you be chayiv? It's binyan l'sha'a. Right? Because what? The Mishkan gets moved from here, there, and yonder. And Frekni Rishami, I'm Reb Yossi. Yerushalmi says, they are not deciding to move the Mishkan from here to there. They are chonim v'nosim al pi hamakayim, meaning, when I build the Mishkan, my name is Bezalel now, when I build the Mishkan, my intention is to build it for as long as it can be built. However, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to tell me at some point, hey, Bezalel, move that Mishkan. No? B'nei Kahas, B'nei Merari, move that Mishkan, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to say. But when they build it, it's not L'sha. They build it L'aylam, Zakti Yerushalmi. That's the first Mahalach in the Yerushalmi. Reb Yosei, right? That it's considered L'aylam, because they're moving up Piha Dibor. Reb Yosei Brebon says, no, it still is L'sha. Because you know that it's not going to stay there, because you have a promise in the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Klai Yisrael is going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So you know it's not going to stay. Vaneshev B'Kadesh Yomim Rabim. You know the Mishkan is not going to stay in Kadesh for that long. No? It's L'sha.
For like 39 years?
I think in Kaddish they stayed for 38 years. But
that's not a long time.
They stood there for a long time, but think about it. When they erect the Mishkan in Kaddish, they don't know how long that Mishkan is going to remain in Kaddish. No? When I put up the Mishkan, I don't know how long it's going to stand. But I know it's not going to stand there forever. So that's the machlokas in the Yerushalmi. Do I treat the Mishkan like it is binyan la'aylam, or do I treat the Mishkan like it's binyan l'sha'a?
And that's so according to Rebbe, it's not a joke what Rav Goldbach says. Rav Goldbach says when you come into a woman's apartment, you have to make a leishen basuka because it's a DSRI.
Not bad. Rav Meir Goldrich has mamish been the visiting professor here in Yeshiva University now for 30 years.
The visiting Rosh Yeshiva.
Right? It's the visiting Rosh Yeshiva. It's Ki'ilu when Klal Yisrael, what does it say in the Haggadah? Vayogar Sham, Melamich Lo Yar Yaakov Avinu Lishtakeya B'Mitzayim El Agor Sham. No, it was temporary. It was temporary. It lasted 210 Yar. Right? 210 years were in Mitzrayim. But lagur sham, lagur ba'aretz banu, right? Your das is kaveya, what's permanent and what's temporary. But here's the question, right? And this is the machlokas in the Yerushalmi. Do I treat the Mishkan like it's binyan la'aylam? Do I treat it like it's binyan l'sha'a? On the one hand, when I build it, it's going to last until the Ribbono Shel Olam tells me to move it. So therefore, I'm building it la'olam. On the other hand, I know it's not la'olam because I'm going to end up going into Eretz Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam promised that we're going into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, I know definitionally that this is a temporary structure.
Rebbe?
Yes, sir.
Since you're later on going, to Spica Daf Beis about DSRI, whether it's about structurally, the construction of it, whether it's structurally sound enough for...
So there's a machlokes in Sukkah Daf Beis and in many places in Maseches Sukkah, machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Lechachamim, about whether a Sukkah has to be Diras Keva or whether a Sukkah has to be Diras Arai. However, the Aruch Lener comments that on the fundamental level, there's no machlokes. But the Aruch Lener time is that you go through the Masechta, you'll see there are very few points of dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Lechachamim. There's one point of dispute about Sukkah L'mayelam Esrim Amma. But part of the Shaila really is, do I treat that, do I view it like it's Keva? Do I view it like it's Arai? There are very few points of dispute. That's why the Aruch Lener, Rav Shechter always says it's over, Motzai Yom Kippur. Rav Shechter always gives a shir, no? Mm-hmm. About Hilchos Sukkah. So he always says over this Aruch Lener, Yeder Yar. Right? Every year he says it over. Rabbi said, this man is almost over. I have to speak more Yiddish because I'm worried that some of you might not have picked up enough Yiddish, this man. So,
Duolingo.
That's 100%. Okay, so here it is, Chavra. Yeah, Zach.
What Ali said, Shir Bachina. Should this be, we have to get to a certain point in Duolingo?
That's one possibility, a very bad possibility, but it's a possibility.
I see I'm trying to make up. I'm worried I didn't tell enough joke.
I'm sorry, didn't hear?
I too am trying to make up. I'm worried I didn't tell enough jokes. I'm trying to say more jokes.
Okay.
Times every asked a joke, and no one said joke.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, let's go on in this Yerushalmi. Let's go on in this Yerushalmi. What did you just send? Something about Rashi's Lashon of Dag?
In this essay, the student was saying that based on the suggestion of Rabbi Herzog, that this snail actually looks like a fish floating atop, because it floats on top of the water and lives in the ocean.
Uh-huh.
So it looks more like a fish.
Interesting. So the word, so it's sort of a dog in the sense of it's most snails are bottom feeders. No, most snails are mamish at the bottom. This snail happens to be closer to the top. That's what you're saying?
Not the murex, the genithia.
But no, so Rav Herzog had two suggestions. It's interesting. Rav Herzog originally suggested the murex. Then he rejected the murex, and he suggested the genithia. If you're interested, by the way, unfortunately, my father is not on for this year right now. Years ago, my father bought a book. It's still in his house. It's called Royal Purpleology, which is basically Ralph Herzog's doctoral dissertation from the University of Dublin on the chilazon, to make the chilaz. Ralph Herzog, who was the first chief rabbi of Israel, no? Because Rav Cook, Zichrono Levracha, was the chief rabbi pre-state. Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi after Hakamat HaMdina, right? So Rav Herzog has a doctorate from University of Dublin, and his doctorate is on the identification of the chilazon. Remember when I was a kid in Camp Monk, so Rav David Cohen used to give a shiur every Shabbos afternoon. So one time he gave a shiur about the identification of the chilazon, and I'm like a 13-year-old kid, and I'm like all over this. I'm like raising my hand. I'm like, yeah, but doesn't Rav Herzog write this? It's like, who are you, kid, and why? This was like the one thing I knew, because we had the book at home. I like read the book. It's like, no, I didn't. Like, I was bar mitzvah age. Okay. Years later, I saw David Cohen at a chatz, and then he like remembered me. He's like, "You used to be in Camp Monk, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm impressed. Okay, so the Yerushalmi has a machlekes about whether the Mishkan is considered binyan l'sho'ah or permanent binyan, because it's al pi Hashem yachanu. So maybe it's binyan la'ilam. On the other hand, kevin shachnisan kadosh baruch hu v'kanes aretz, maybe it's binyan l'sho'ah. That's Yerushalmi on Nun Beis Amid Beis B'dapeha Yerushalmi. Nun Aleph Amid Beis B'dapeha Yerushalmi, a very similar sugya. Again, this is all related to the Gemara that we are doing now. Correct, the Gemara, Makashira Hesav Mishkan. The Malach of Kosher, what did they tie in the Mishkan? And for the Yerushalmi, Sheyo Kosher Meshamesarim. They tied the strings to the Yesedos. Frekni Yerushalmi v'lo l'sha'a ha'isa. Right? Do you recognize this? Yerushalmi answers, Amr b'yeisa, mikevan sh'yuchonim v'nosim al-piya dibor k'mishu ha'yu la'olam. No, it's all al-piya kadosh baruch hu, so it's ki'ilu, it is la'olam. So then Yerushalmi says, Amr Reb Yosef, but since HaKadosh Baruch Hu tichon l'kanes ha'aretz, it's like l'sha'a. Remember, the same Yerushalmi is by Bona and by Kosher. The Zohar Yerushalmi. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Our Gemara seems like it's a Dover Pashat. Talmud Bavli on Ayin Dalal Amid Beis seems that it's a Dover Pashat, the Kosher of tying the curtains to the Yesedos is not kosher la'olam. It's kosher la'sha'a. That's beferish in the Gemara. Now, ha'ara one is l'cha'ora. What difference does this make? If you think about it, I learn all melachos from what they did in the Mishkan, no? If in the Mishkan they tied the yerios to the yesedos, they use the mesarim. By the way, does anyone know the English terms for mesarim? And I don't know. I think the mesarim are like strings that they tie to the yerios, which is that they tie to the yesedos, which are like pegs in the ground. Yesedos are different than the adonim, right?
Is this like Shor Sinai?
I didn't hear you.
Is this like Shor Sinai?
Is it like Shor Sinai in terms of that we don't know what it was?
That we don't know why the Gemara brings it up as a nefmin.
Okay, I mean, maybe. Or Ketzet Hobishan in the beginning of Maseches Yoma. Maybe, I mean, these types of things. But I'm asking a different kash. The kash I'm asking is, maybe I should taka b'chayiv when I tie the yerios to the pegs, because precisely because that's what they did in the Mishkan, that should precisely be the nature of the chiyuv. Right? Who says, right? If I learn now from what they did in the Mishkan, so you can't ask Akasha, it was Lashah.
I have a question by Rose. Oh, God,
so by Gozes and Toval Gabe Behema, so that was like Maisa Nisim, so to speak, right? That was a Chachmi Yaseira. That's the way the Gemara says it, meaning you can't learn from there. But ordinarily, I would say that anything that they did in the Mishkan should be the paradigm for what the Malacha is. So you have to say, and I don't know a real makar for this. I saw the Sefer Minchas Ariel points this out. You have to say something to the effect of that Chazal had a tradition that it has to be Miskayim, independent of the Limud from the Mishkan. If you're going to tell me that the Malachos are only what they did in the Mishkan, then the Chaira, I should define Miskayim based on Alpi Hashem Yachanu, right? This is called Miskayim. But you see that somehow there is some tradition that Chazal had, maybe Halacha L'Moshe Misinai or something, that this is called Eino Miskayim. It's worth thinking about. This relates, by the way, to the Gemara that we began with on Daf Mem Tes, in terms of what the Avos are and what the Toldos are. They probably, Chazal probably had some Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, some information that they are entering the Sugya of Lamed Tes Malachos with, that they're almost working backwards. I think we have to say something like that, although I must admit the kash has been in the Teretz. So let's go slowly. Our Gemara seems to say that what they did in the Mishkan is considered Lashah, which would mean that we're following the first opinion in those Yerushalmis, right? Or, excuse me, the second opinion in the Yerushalmis, that kevan hivtichon likanes la'aretz, it's considered l'sha'a. Right? That seems to be the maskana of our Gemara. The Chassam Sofer, in the famous Chuvan Simin Ayin Beis, the Chassam Sofer says that Talmud Bavli has a different take on this Yisayit. Va'afaresh. Let's go a step back. The Noda Yehuda famously assumes that if you open an umbrella on Shabbos, it's karov to be a vadai that you are, I think that's his nusach, karov levadai that you are violating the isser of bonem min hatayra. That's what the Noda Yehuda writes. Chassam Sofer and Simon Ayin Beis says, my dear beloved Noda Yehuda, you're wrong. Because the umbrella is by definition binyan l'sha'a. He has three tainas on the Noda Yehuda, but the taina that I am bringing up now is the taina of binyan l'sha'a. The umbrella is not permanent bayina, right? Rabbi Osai, raise your hand. How many of you have used an umbrella in your life? Okay, do you use an umbrella? Do you open it and leave it open for a long time, or do you pull it down? Right, Ben, even you, right? You don't walk around. Mary Poppins, I think, always walks around with her umbrella open. You know? But most of us, right, your umbrella is now closed 100%. Most of us don't walk around with our umbrella open all the time.
The umbrella's outside by the tables.
What? So even the umbrella's outside by the tables, they might be open longer, but they do close them on windy days. Right, they do close them during the winter. Right, it's not la'ilam, but it for sure is not la'ilam. And we'll have to discuss how long is considered miskayim. That's stage two of this conversation. But the Chassam Sofer writes in the Chuvan Siman Ayin Beis. Yes, sir.
Is this like a das question, or is this like a, you know, sort of a, reiterating what I said before, like a structural question? If I open my umbrella, it'll stay open all the time until I close it.
Oh, so that is going to be stage three of this conversation. Right? Again, what we're trying to figure out stage one is what's the halacha if I do a malacha lezman? Right, that connects to whether I view the Mishkan as being Lizman or whether I view the Mishkan as being La'ilam. That's the machlokas in the Yerushalmi. Question, right, is what does Talmud Bavli hold? Right, that's question one. Question two is going to be how long is called Eino Miskayim? And question three is going to be whether Eino Miskayim means that the item will self-destruct or whether Eino Miskayim means that it will, or that I have das to undo it. That's stage three of the question. Right? All these questions, we're trying to figure out Eino Miskayim, and we are using Kosher as the way of looking into it. Right? You're with me so far? So the
plot is... Malachos depend on Kiyum? And we said Bona also.
So the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amid Beis tells me with respect to the Malacha of Kosev, Zahaklal, Koha Osa Malacha Malachtum is Kayemes Beshabes is Chayiv. Meaning, Lacha Oira, that the din of Miskayim is a din by all the Malachos of Shabbos. Now, stage three or four in this question is related to what you just asked a few minutes ago, Nadi. Is the definition of miskayim different by different malachos? Do I assume that the hagdara of miskayim by kosher perhaps is different than the hagdara of miskayim by other malachos?
If I make a chabura, like, it'll heal. Like, is that considered a miskayim?
Right, so if I make a chabura, it will eventually heal, no? My skin will... heal. Does that mean it's Eino Miskayim? So the Rambam writes with respect to Kosev, the Rambam writes that our Kosev al Basaro is going to be Chayiv because the Ksav l'Kesha Atzmo will last for a long time. It's just the Chom of the Guf makes that ksav go away. I think that Rambam is in Perek Yud Aleph.
Taka true.
It's taka true, but l'cha'ira, that's the same thing. If I make a chavola in you, right? If I injure somebody, the ripping would last forever. It's just the Ribbono Shel Olam, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam created heat inside the body, which makes the ksav go away. The Ribbono Shel Olam created coagulating agents. You're the future doctor. What's the term over here? The Ribbono Shel Olam creates certain things that make the body heal. No? So l'cha'ira, all these questions have to be addressed. Every single one of these questions. The Rambam I just referred to is Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tesvav. That Rambam in terms of Ksav.
But that could be like...
It's Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tesvav and Halacha Tesayin.
I mean, if you say it's the din on malachos, then it helps me not just like with the disappearing ink for the doctors, future doctors.
So the disappearing
ink for the doctors, not just the kosher shayla, but the tavaya shayla.
Nachon, the disappearing ink for the doctors is different than the kosher shayla, right? Because by kosher, I tie a knot, and the only reason why it's ain't a miskayim is I plan on untying it. In many cases, there are other cases of a knot that will untie on its own, right? By kosev. Right, it will go away if I use the disappearing ink, like the doctors in Eretz Yisrael or the Machon Somet has that disappearing ink for doctors to write prescriptions. It erases within 24 hours. Right, so this is a very important Shas Sugya about what's called Miskayim. Talmud Bavli on Ayin Dalet Amid Beis is assuming that since Klal Yisrael is going to enter Eretz Yisrael, so the ksa, so the kosher is eno miskayim. That's ayin dalet amid beis.
In terms of
chiyuv. So everyone holds. We have to make this point. Everybody holds that if I do something that is eno miskayim, I'm in violation of an Isser Derabbanan, but if it's Eno Miskayim Klal, I am not in violation of any Isser Bechlal. Right? Meaning, right, if I, let's say it's a misty day, and my window has, you know, what's it called? Like...
Frost,
that's the word, right? Robert. My window has Robert on it. So what I do is I take my finger and I write my name on my window. Right? Did you ever do this?
Of course.
Right? This
condensation
is
condensation in the car.
Huh?
Condensation.
The condensation. Right. That's the word. Right? So you write on the condensation. So that is something that is slightly more miskayim than if I go to the beach and I go to the area right where the surf comes in and I take a stick and I write it, so it's going to last maybe a minute until the next wave comes and is mochek, my ksav, right? There is ksav that is mamish enu miskayim klav ikar. There is ksav, like what the doctors do, that it's going to last less than 24 hours. The pashtus says that's ksav midrabbanon, but we're mekel on it, letzorech chola. That's the pashtus. But some that's not miskayim bechlal is mutter entirely. Right? If you want to see just a brief essay about this, in the Hakdama to Shmira Shabbos Kol Chasa 3.0, he gives you the Kolam of Malachas Shabbos. So he has like a brief paragraph about miskayim. And if you follow the footnotes over there, you mamish see like Kol HaTerekula about miskayim. But let's go a step further.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
How does this concept of Miskayim translate over to something like Havara?
So we spoke about that briefly. Right? Let's say I light a match. Are you going to tell me that's not Miskayim?
Because everything is limited fuel source. Like, Right. Those things that it's an internal thing.
So we spoke about this briefly. It's not, no one that I'm aware of says that lighting a match is only aser midrabanan because it's in a miskayim. So l'cha'ira, you have to say that it's similar to the Rambam about kosev al basara. The fire itself would last for a very long time. It's just that there's not enough fuel to keep it going. Just like the ksav itself would last for a very long time, but the chamimos have ur, right, erases it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But these are very important questions. Oh. Zotach sam sof in the tshuvan simen ayin dalet. Simon Ayin Beis, pardon me. Chassam Sofer writes that Talmud Bavli holds the opposite of we just said it holds. The Gemara on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis has an opinion that in order to violate the Malach of Soser, it has to be Soser Amanas Livnos Bimkomo. It's not enough that I'm Soser Amanas Livnos, but it has to be that I destroy an item Amanas Livnos Bimakomo, in the same place. So the Yerushalmi asks, Amar Lai Rabba, Michdei, Kol Malachos Yalfinon Mimishkan, V'hasam Mitzayser Amanas Livnos Shalom Bimakomo. I learned from the Mishkan. By the Mishkan, when they dismantled the Mishkan, yeah, they're going to rebuild it, but they're going to rebuild it in a different place, in an Andara Platz. No, and therefore it says Hamanas Livnos Shaloi Ben Kaimai. Amar Lei, the Gemara answers Shani Hosam Kevon Dechsev Al Pi Hashem Yachanu Kisos Hamanas Livnos Bimkomo Dami. Since it says Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, so it's all done Al Pi the Rebbeinu Shalaylam. So therefore, it's Kisos Hamanas Livnos Bimkomo. Now, if I go back to the Yerushalmi that we started with, that opinion that is using Al Pi Hashem Yachanu as the paradigm for Malachos by the Mishkan, that's the opinion that assumes that Binyan L'Sha'a is Binyan, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. They built the Mishkan. It's going to stay there forever. There you dismantle the Mishkan. Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, as far as they know, the Eibishter is going to tell them, put it back up right over here. It's all called Bim Kaimai. So the Chassam Sefer Tainus, now although there are two opinions in the Yerushalmi about Binyan L'Sha'a, but the Bavli on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis says that Binyan L'Sha'a is not Binyan. The only reason why they're chayiv, Zok the Gemara on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, the only reason why they're chayiv is because Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. That sounds like the opinion of Binyan L'Sha'a is not Binyan. But our Gemara on Ayin Dalet Amid Beis says the other opinion. Our Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amid Beis is saying that they're not chayif what they did in the Mishkan. That's called L'Sha'a. Meaning, Lamed Aleph Amid Beis is assuming that what happened in the Mishkan is called L'Olam. But Ayin Dalet Amid Beis is saying that what happened in the Mishkan is called L'Sha'a. So there is a contradiction in Gemaras. There's a steer between the Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amid Beis and the Gemara on Lamed Aleph on the base. Let me say this again because I see some blank faces. At least one. So let me say it again. At least one. Go like this. Two opinions in the Yerushalmi. When they do the Mishkan, right? One opinion says, Al Pi Hashem Yachan, Al Pi Hashem Yiso, meaning I treat the Mishkan like it's L'Olam. And therefore, L'Sha'a is going to be Potter. The other opinion says, no, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised them to enter Eretz Yisrael, so by definition, it's considered, right? By definition, it's considered L'Sha'a, right? And therefore, they are going to be Potter, opinion. One in the Rishami says Api Hashem Yachanu, that the Mishkan is considered La'ilam. Opinion number two in the Yerushalmi says that the Mishkan is called L'Shava. Nafgamino, whether you're chayiv on Binyan L'Shava. Nafgamino, whether you're chayiv on Kosher L'Shava. Talmud Bavli on Ayin Dalet Amid Beis says that Kosher L'Shava is Pater. That sounds like the opinion number two in the Yerushalmi, that Kevan Sheftich on HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyikon Zul Ha'aretz, so therefore it is L'sha'a, and your potter. But the Bavli on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis says that Soser of the Mishkan is considered Soser Almanas Livnos Bimekomo because it says Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, meaning opinion one in the Yerushalmi, that the Mishkan is considered Kavua, the Mishkan is considered La'olam. So I have a Stira in Talmud Bavli as to which opinion in the Yerushalmi I accept. The Chassam Sofer is accepting the Gemara Lamed Aleph Amid Beis as binding, and therefore the Chassam Sofer says Binyan L'Sha'a is Pater. And that's why the Chassam Sofer argues on the Noda Behuda and says that the umbrella is okay to use on Shabbos. But our Gemara sounds like L'Sha'a is going to be, right? Our Gemara says what? Now, is the Gemara on our Gemara sounds like it's using the opinion in the Yerushalmi of Kevan Shef Nisan Kadosh Baruch Hu Nikanes La'aretz that the Mishkan is considered L'sha'a. But the Gemara on Lamed Aleph is assumed that the Mishkan is considered La'ilam. That's the Stira that we have. So time is getting a little bit late. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we're going to have to answer this Stira. And what I'd like you to see for tomorrow, look at these Rishonim that we quoted. But and it's also it's very important to see the Tosfos in the top Tosfos on Tesamar Aleph in Maseches Chulin. Look in the Hagolos Mordechai, the first Hagolos Mordechai in Maseches Chulin. Look in the Avni Nezer's Tshuva and Simin Kuf Pei Gimel. Right, that's what we'll discuss tomorrow. We're going to broaden this conversation to talk about Miskayim in general, and to talk about Miskayim by Kosev, and also just begin reading Simin Shin Yud Zayin in Shulchan Aruch, where we have all the dinim of kosher. Okay, Morav Rabotai, have a wonderful, marvelous day.